Hello, folks. I am the Reverend Jacob Hoyer, and you are back with us on the SELC Church Planting Podcast. Hopefully, this is not your first time with us, but you've heard us already a couple of times. We've been producing a series of podcast episodes to describe new goals and directions for SELC church planting. Once again, I'm Jacob Hoyer. I'm here again with the Reverend Dr. Mark Larson. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jacob. Thanks for asking.
And we are talking through our four marks of a healthy New Testament church. So we've got four episodes around our four marks of a healthy New Testament church. They are that a healthy New Testament church would be gospel-fueled, outward-focused, discipleship-driven, and multiplication-minded. Today, we'll be talking about the fourth one, multiplication-minded. And our guest is the Reverend Mark Crossman. He is the lead pastor of The Cross in Mount Dora, Florida. Mark, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, Mark. How's it going? It's going really well.
Awesome.
Very good. And Mark, I'm a little bit envious of your last name. I mean, what better name could a pastor have than Pastor Crossman?
Isn't that absolutely fantastic?
It's like Pastor Love or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny little story. So my wife's maiden name is Landsman. So when we got married, I always used to tease her and tell her that I took her from earthly to heavenly things. So
there you go.
We are all weak, ladies and gentlemen.
Great. Well, Mark, we've got you here because you've actually been a part of church planting in a few different kind of ways. And we want to talk about being multiplication minded. And this fits in with our SELC vision for church planting, where we're saying every church can plant churches. And so when we say multiplication minded, it's really about focusing in on the fact that we say a healthy New Testament church has their eyes set on daughtering a congregation. It doesn't have to be tomorrow, doesn't have to be next year, but that a healthy New Testament church is multiplication minded. They'd be thinking about daughtering a congregation. So I think a good place to start is, why is church planting even important? Like, why should we be planting churches? Aren't there already enough churches in the world? And I know, Mark Larson, you've done postgraduate work in this kind of around this kind of question. And Mark Crossman, you've been a part of multiple church plants. So either one of you can jump in. Why should we be planting churches at all?
Awesome. Let me dive in. I'll start off by, you know, let's sort of break this down one step at a time here. I think a good place always to start with these things is, well, what did Jesus tell us to do? And, you know, I've got in front of me Matthew 28:19-20, obviously, and we know this well, but let me read it for us. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And we know this portion of scripture really, really well. But the reality here is that Jesus doesn't tell us to simply go out there and, you know, say a whole bunch of things. He's telling us to literally go out there and make disciples. And discipleship making really is something that happens in the context of community. It happens in the context of the church. So there's no way we can obey ultimately this commandment from Christ if we are not church plant minded. If we are going to disciple the nations, we have to ultimately be planting and growing churches. So I would jump off right there for a start.
And I would add that we need to, even though the church, capital C, is eternal, congregations are not. So congregations, very typically, certainly in America, have a lifespan. They get started, they grow, they plateau. Very often, they start to decline and sometimes even die. And so that's why we need to keep having or planting churches. Churches need to keep mothering daughter congregations because that's how the church is going to continue and grow. Because congregations will come and go, but the church indeed is eternal.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're hearing that, like, if we are going to make disciples, that happens in the context of congregations, and congregations have a lifespan. So even though we see many around us, there is a need for more. So why else? What are some other reasons for why plant churches?
You know, so let's stay in that line of just discipleship and essentially reaching the lost. It's interesting that it has actually been shown in studies and in research that when new churches are planted, that is typically when the most of the time, that is when you are reaching unchurched people at the same time. I've actually experienced this in my own life. Every time I've been a part of a church plant, there's something really special and there's something really incredible that happens. First of all, the group that goes with you to start that church is, man, they are as excited as any group of people that you've ever worked with on any project ever. There's a real feeling of we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. There is a mission-mindedness to it. So the most evangelistic church members I've ever worked with have all been people connected to a new church plant. And then hand in hand with that obviously goes when you're going out into a new community and you're trying to reach that community, you're actually very evangelistic minded, which means a lot of lost souls get to hear the gospel for the first time. So there's something incredible that happens when it comes to just sort of galvanizing people, especially church people, when there is a church plant.
And maybe in church planting circles, people say this about it, frankly, that it's easier to give birth than to raise the dead. It's the idea that when we're beginning a new congregation, that's new life, there's excitement around that, just as Mark Crossman was saying. And it's a wonderful thing. And driven by the Holy Spirit, we pray that people have an excitement and energy around it and a vision and hope for the future that is really going to reach a lot of people for Jesus.
Let me jump in here with a practical example of sort of what I'm talking about. So I remember with one of the church plants I was involved in, we obviously were getting super excited about the fact that we were about to launch a service and all the rest of it. And essentially myself and the little leadership team got together and we prayed and we thought about how can we announce to this city that the church is here and we're excited and we're ready to serve them and love on them. And somebody came up with the idea of a door hanger drop, where essentially, you know, you kind of get the little posters printed, but they sort of fit like a door hanger onto the door handle. And we took a Saturday and off we all went into a neighborhood that was right next to where the church was going to be. And we dropped off hundreds of these flyers, these door hangers on doors. And as a result of that, ended up having multiple conversations with people that we'd never met before, people that went to church, never went to church. It was just an incredible morning. And I can honestly say to you that at the time I did that, I had been in ministry, I think, for about a decade or so, and I had never been a part of anything quite like that. So it was just interesting that I found in some of my church planting experiences that we were having to take initiative and we were having to think outside the box in order to get the thing off the ground. And in doing so, we were actually being very evangelistic in our efforts. So I think that's actually a really good example of the kind of things that happen when you're starting something new. You're essentially forced out of your comfort zone and you're forced to think outside of the box a little bit, which I think is really good. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's a great example. Yeah. And so what we're saying is, why plant churches? One, I mean, Jesus told us to do it, right? He said, go make disciples. And we need congregations to make disciples. We said churches have lifespans. And so even though we see many congregations around us, that doesn't mean all those congregations will last forever. So we need new ones. And then we're hearing that, like, often, anecdotally and research-based, we can say, new churches, baby churches, are where evangelistic fervor is often the strongest. So that's like kind of why plant churches. So now we want to say, like, okay, so historically, maybe in our tradition, districts have planted churches. But now in the SCLC, we're saying every church can plant churches. Why do we want to see established congregations, mothering daughter congregations? Why shouldn't existing churches just grow bigger and bigger? And why do we need to be multiplication-minded specifically?
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible question. And I think there's so many things that we can dive into with that. Let me start with this one. And I think there's many things we can dive into. But one of the things that I can say is just absolutely crucial is the fact that Christianity lived out in its purest form is by nature community driven. It's about community. It's about people coming together in the context of relationship and really living out their faith journey together. And I think what you find when churches really start becoming larger and larger and larger is typically you do find people will drive further and further and further. And very often you'll find people are coming to a service on a Sunday. The worship's amazing. Preaching is good, all the rest of it. But ultimately, Christianity only functions properly when it's really done in the context of community. And when it's done in the context of a community that you're actually doing life with, people that understand you, people that are, you know, going to the same barbershop as you, people that are going to their kids on the same school as your kids. So I would say a really good argument right out the gate for why have more churches planted in communities is because Christianity is a community sport. It's a team sport. You need ultimately to have community in order to really make disciples. So I think that's probably my first idea around that.
And I'd add to that, if a church isn't getting larger and larger, by planting a daughter church, they have the opportunity to reach more people for Christ by that ministry. Because we could probably imagine situations where a church is in a community that is very challenged for one reason or another. You know, the mine closes and all the people move away. But if a church plants churches, it's able to continue to expand the kingdom of God where those daughter congregations and maybe granddaughter congregations end up in the future.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I was just thinking as well, Mark. Like some of our churches in the SCLC are in some of those towns where the mines have closed, and so we're not only saying, "Hey guys, we know you're all growing to 1,500 people. You shouldn't really do that." You know, that's not really what we're saying. But what we are saying is like numerical growth at one location is not the only vision. Like, and therefore, like if you're in a position where the culture around you makes numerical growth difficult, you can still be a part of expanding the ministry of the gospel in your metro area by helping to plant new churches.
Yeah. Or maybe even not in your metro area. Maybe it could be fairly distant. I mean, because that certainly has happened before also that congregations assist in planting congregations that might be rather distant from them.
Sure. Absolutely. So why else do we think it's good for churches, established churches, to mother-daughter congregations? Again, why not just like, hey, we've got enough to worry about here on our own, just keeping the ministry going as it is? What's another reason to hold multiplication-minded out as one of the marks of a healthy New Testament church?
Next one I'll jump into, yeah, is I think ultimately, yes, I understand the idea of a district trying to ultimately start things, but I just think the reality is that starting a church is it can be dirty business. It's hands on. It's blue collar work. You're in the trenches. It's things can sound incredibly fancy and good in a boardroom, and it can absolutely flop and fail in real life on the ground. So I think there is something about having a church with a congregation, with community, with real life people, with real life experience that have been there and done that. There's something about that community getting behind somebody and actually sending them out there and empowering them and equipping them to go and fulfill the mission and the vision that God has called on their life. I think it's a very powerful thing. I think it's a biblical principle. I know Jacob and Mark, we were chatting a little bit before, we started the podcast, and I told you a little bit about my story. And I was a part of a very, very big church, a very large church, honestly, in South Africa. And that church was not particularly church plant minded. It was a mega church. And eventually I just got to the point in my walk where I felt like I had hit a ceiling in that context. And essentially there was no real plan for me to move forward. It was kind of this thing of, hey, either you fulfill all your dreams and your destiny in this context, or you got to go out there and figure this out, pal. And regrettably, in some ways, I decided the latter. And I went out there and I decided to try to start my own thing on my own and essentially anointed and appointed and called myself. And I can honestly say to you that from the minute I did it, I could feel like there was something off. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was what it needed to be. And it ended up being honestly a very painful experience. And in the end, we had to close up shop. And a big part of the experience for me that I felt throughout it was, it wasn't just that there wasn't the practical support. It wasn't just that there wasn't that. Even spiritually, I just felt like I was out there by myself. I could actually feel it. I felt like, man, something about this is not the way it should be. So I say then, if you are a church growing and you're a bigger church, if you are not church plant minded, you can potentially actually cause a situation where now guys are going out there like lone rangers trying to start things. And I just don't think that's really how it should be. So...
Right. And it reminds me that even though Paul and his companions went to plant churches, which were distant from the mother church, they were sent out by the church of Antioch and they fasted and prayed. And then they sent them out to fulfill that mission from God.
Yeah. And I think like what I like about that connection to Antioch and Mark Crossman, the story you're telling, is that there's an undercurrent of like, the gospel will not be caged, right? So like it will expand into communities of proclamation and witness. And so if we are not a part of it, it may happen in spite of us. And so we might as well get with the current. You know, that's what I'm hearing in your story is like when you were in that big church in South Africa, you were feeling compelled by the gospel to be a part of the expansion of God's family. And even if the church wasn't going to equip you to do it, you were going to do it. And now, like you said, you experienced some of the pitfalls of feeling like a church planting orphan. But I think like if we can acknowledge that God is going to move through his church to see more congregations planted, then posturing ourselves as being multiplication minded is the best way to partner with that work. So what does it look like to do that in a healthy way? What are some of the things that we the work of SCLC church planting is to initiate and support replicable New Testament churches. And we're saying one of the marks of a healthy New Testament church is that they be multiplication minded. So what does that mean for our congregations who want to be multiplication minded? What does it look like for them to begin to structure and posture themselves to be multiplication minded in a healthy way?
I would say the first thing that needs to happen really links directly to what we're busy doing now. I think you've got to get a heart around it, and I think you've got to get a mindset that understands that church planting is ultimately a necessity and it's not a luxury. You know, I do think there's this mindset of, man, once we've got everything else on earth figured out, that will be the last cherry on top of the cake. And I think we've just got to start understanding that as much as everything else we do is important, we have to have a mindset of church planting. And we need to understand that it's crucial. So I would almost say it starts there with just simply understanding the importance behind it and that it is a part of the mission we're called into by Christ himself.
Yeah, and I would add to that, churches need to keep in mind there could be many and varied ways that they could be involved in church planting. It could be sort of the traditional way of going to a new town and a new place, sending people out as a core group. But it could also be welcoming an ethnic ministry or even a new target audience within an existing campus or building. We can partner with other people. So there's just many, many different ways that people can be involved in church planting. There isn't a one size fits all.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I hear Mark Crossman, you're saying like, let's align our heartbeat with the heartbeat of God for new churches being planted. And Mark Larson, you're saying, and let's allow our imaginations to be stirred up for all the different ways that we could be a part of replicating communities in our midst. What else is going to be a healthy way to posture towards being multiplication minded for some of our established congregations?
I'm gonna throw this one out there, and if it's a little bit touchy, that's fine. I can do what I want. I'm on a podcast, so. I'm going to say this. I think the next thing that is needed, God, is the mission needs to be bigger than our personal egos and our personal ambitions. And I do think there is, if we have to be real, there is a selfless component to church planting that needs to become a part of the leadership's hearts at a church. I know we're all incredibly spiritual and none of us are selfish and none of us have selfish ambitions. We're all just the purest of heart. But I do think the reality is that quickly in ministry, it can become about how successful we are. It can become about how big we appear to be. It can become about, you know, all the things we're doing. And the reality is that there is a component of church planting that is a selfless one where we need to go, yes, I've got certain things that I'd like to see God do through this congregation in this moment, in this time. But I also understand that God wants to use others to do things that I might never get a shred of credit for. And that's what Christianity is. That's what we're called into. And it might then require us to put time, effort, and energy into something that we will never directly get the credit for. And that's something that we need to embrace and dive into. So I would say that's another one, that sort of letting go of the ego and the selfish ambition.
Yeah, and I think like communicating in that way takes a lot of forms. I have a friend and mentor who talks about like one of the reasons that I think even operates in the back of our minds as ministry leaders. One of the reasons our people can stay under-discipled is because we're worried if we teach them to go out and expand the ministry, they'll realize that they can do a lot of the things that we do. And then all of a sudden, my job security is threatened. You know, so like if I can maintain the understanding of my congregation that I'm the only one who can do certain things, you know, then I have value. But and so I think you're right, Mark, like we get into a place where like, we have to be vulnerable and honest around some of these concerns about what it is that we're actually building. And so being willing to say, hey, it's not just about making this thing greater, but about equipping God's people to do God's work. Absolutely. Mark Larson, anything to add there or another thing about daughtering and mothering daughter congregations in a healthy way?
I guess I would add that it's also unfortunately normal to find resistance to church planting. And you're going to find that within your congregation and outside your congregation, that if you say you want to plant a church, the people in the congregation may say, well, that's going to divide the pastor's time. It's going to cost money. Oh, why can't they just come here? You know, you'll hear all of those stories. And then when you, you know, try to go to a new location, you certainly may find resistance in other churches who feel like they might lose members to your mission. And certainly one of the experiences I had with church planting was I was in a town which was very Lutheran. I mean, 2,000 people, my church had 1,000, and there were country churches all around it. So we wanted to plant a church in the next town over, which also had one particularly dominant church. And we tried to open an early childhood center, and we were absolutely stymied by the local government. They would not give us a permit to open a child care ministry in their town. You know, so and that's just normal. And so we, you know, need to be resilient as we plant churches. But keep in mind that it's not only our own selfishness that we need to be aware of, but other people are also going to be threatened that church planting may gore somebody else's ox, I guess, as you would say.
Yeah. Gore somebody else's ox. It definitely sounds like a rural, that's a rural metaphor for us. Yeah.
It was Illinois.
By the way. No, that's right. Yeah. I was like, it fits with the tenor of the story. So great. Let's just, before we wrap up. So if somebody's listening and they're saying, okay, great, you've convinced me. We need to be mothering a new congregation. What are some of the pitfalls they should be watching out for?
That's a great question. I'm going to give you two, yeah, and then I'll hand over the two things that I think I've seen in my own life, and I think these are important things. And essentially, I'm speaking now to the mothering congregation and the potential church planter. But the first thing I would say is it's really important to have realistic expectations around what it looks like to plant a church. I think the reality is that we all think we're special. We all think we're, you know, potentially the next big thing. And I think sometimes we can get to this place where we go, man, if someone can just give me a platform and a microphone, revival will break out in the next 10 minutes here. And you go out there and you do everything you need to do, and it's sweat, blood, and tears in church planting. And you might just have a whole bunch of Sundays where a whole bunch of nobody shows up. And I think it's just you've just got to understand that there's a lot of passion that goes into it. There's a lot of energy that goes into it. I told you before about the door hangers and all that stuff, and you've got a group of people that are super excited, but you've got to be realistic in the fact that it is going to take time to build something with significance, and you've got to give yourself that freedom, the freedom of time. Don't put yourself under all kinds of unrealistic expectations. So I think that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I'll throw out there is make sure that if you are planting a church, make sure that you're doing it in a community and in a city that you really feel passionate about and that you feel called to and that you feel is a city that you want to be a part of. I think that's super important. I understand that we need to go where we're sent. But if we over-spiritualize that and we pretend to go to a place that we absolutely don't want to be in, I think ultimately you're going to do yourself an injustice. I think ultimately you're going to do that community an injustice, and you're not going to be authentic, and you're not going to give the people in that community what they really deserve from you. So make sure that if you are sent and if you plant a church, the church planter needs to be in that community. He needs to be passionate about that community, and he needs to feel called to that community. And I think that's really, really key.
And then maybe I'll just add a couple more things to this, Jacob. And one is when people have children, they don't get any choice about what DNA they pass along to their children. It's what they got, and the kids get what they get. But I think congregations, as they are planting churches, if they can have some self-awareness about the strengths and maybe even the weaknesses of their current congregation, and maybe try to plant a church that would have the strengths and not the weaknesses, if you will, of the mother congregation, I think that would be a healthy thing. You know, just if you're able to ask yourself and recognize, you know, hey, there's great things about our mother congregation. You know, every mother congregation is that way. It's from God. It's his bride. But we can also realize that there may be some traits that we don't want to pass along to this daughter congregation. And then the other thing would just be to say, well, we can't forget that this is spiritual warfare, that church plants reach people, and they reach lots of unchurched people. And the devil doesn't like that one bit. And so he's going to set up a lot of obstacles to in the way. And so we want to be sure that we're in prayer, that we're strong in the word, and that we're ready to face some opposition, not only from this world, but also from the devil himself.
Well, guys, you are both a wealth of wisdom when we start talking about church planting. So I'm grateful for the ways that you've been able to speak in to how we can make SELC congregations step into this posture of being more multiplication minded. So Mark Crossman, thank you, especially to you. If people want to learn more about what God is doing through the cross, or if they want to hear more from you, where can they connect with you and how can they find out more about the cross?
Yes, I think the best place is probably our website. So if you go to thecross.family, we are right there. So that's probably the best place to find out a little bit more about what we are getting up to.
Perfect. Thecross.family. I had to do a double take when you guys first got that domain name because I hadn't seen it before. I didn't even know it was available. Dot family, but it's genius.
It's very strange, isn't it?
Cool. Awesome. Well, again, thanks, Pastor Mark Crossman. Thanks, Reverend Dr. Mark Larson. And thanks to those of you that are listening in as we continue to walk through this podcast series. You can still find more about what we're up to with SELC church planting at selc.lcms.org/church planting. So you can find more information about resources we're providing, all the other episodes of this podcast series that we're doing, and anything else you need there. So thanks again for listening in, and we'll see you next time.